Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back. And we were going to go through the institutions like I was going through yesterday. And obviously I identified the top institution is the states who have been most adversely affected by unconstitutional government. But I'm going to get into religion as the next most affected institution by government. But before I do that, what I wanted to do was do my usual diatribe. For those of you who know me, if you want to call in, the lines are open because I just made them open. Anyway, I go by GR on the radio and in public forums, and I just ask you to be civil. So be confidential, civil, and concise. And nextly, I need to point out the importance of that presentation. There's been a lot of people that have been getting traction on that, even though I do get a few outlier. I had a social justice warrior that ranted, and we basically blocked him off the page. But bottom line, and there's an individual up there. I forget his name. I think he's Wayne. But anywho, he's myopic on a very specific issue. And I've been talking about having a single vision or myopsy or being myopic on an issue. And so I'm kind of myopic on an issue. My focus is strictly the Constitution, which means that by fixing the Constitution, I fix everybody's problem, whether that be immigration, whether that be abortion, whether that be the corporation, the unconstitutional corporations. It really doesn't matter what your issue is. Republic Review and auditing the Constitution will actually solve everybody's problems, at least well over 90% of all the problems that we're facing. We still have a few issues, but those are all solvable once the parents or once the states step in. So the first 30 minutes of this video, and I believe the link to it, yeah, it's still on the Take Action page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So if you go there, just click on that and watch the first 30 minutes. I go through the context of really what is the Constitution and why is it so important that this, and actually state the academic argument that the states are the only ones who have the authority, as I've been saying, to actually undo all of these things and draw the line or the boundary back around the Constitution. I keep on citing the Federalist Papers and what Madison and many others have said, that the states were responsible at that time, and they still are, for ensuring that the federal government does not encroach upon those states' rights, responsibilities, and powers that were not delegated. So if you have a mailing list, a group of patriots, I could use your help, your support. By all means, get involved and send this information out. And as people start digesting this, it will become more and more the conversation. And I hope it becomes the primary conversation in 2019 as the new legislative bodies are being sworn in maybe some very specific states, as I've been saying, Wyoming, maybe the Dakotas. And I don't know about the Dakotas anymore. I was listening to the news regarding South Dakota going after sales tax over the internet. And what they're doing is they're going down this path of pleading and trying to create an overarching national government and response. What they're doing is they're opening the door for the federal government to try to assume the unconstitutional powers of regulating sales tax, which will then put their feet inside the room of saying, you know what, we need to have a national sales tax on top of, it's just like your stupid gas tax where you've got state and federal gas tax placed on the purchase of your gas, and as well as many other excise type tax on tires and all sorts of things. And it's just opening the door to giving the states the ability to start taxing our purchases. And I can't believe that a really bright red state like South Dakota is going down this. They have many other ways of opening up their resources by enforcing the Constitution. And I don't want to excoriate them, but I'm going to be hitting up their Facebook pages, social media, and so forth and saying, do you realize what you're doing? There are far better ways of solving your problems than asking the federal government to come in, because you're just asking for more problems. One of my favorite lines by Frank Barone, the father on Everybody Loves Raymond, when he was talking to his son, Raymond, about woman problems. And he goes, what I always tell you, if you got a problem with your woman, you don't go out and get another woman, because then you have two problems. And that's exactly what the state's doing. They may have this problem with sales tax, but now they're going to have a bigger problem with the federal government stepping in and either skimming off or adding, and it is going to have an adverse effect on our liberty and our individual sovereignty, because the government's going to be getting involved in every purchase that you make, because they're trying to open that door. And oh, I'm not surprised that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and as a matter of fact, the leftists, I believe they may be putting on a facade, but I believe the leftists believe in nationalism. They want the national powers to be expanded. And I'm absolutely shocked, and maybe I'm not shocked, that Trump is in support of this. So anyway, as I said at the very, very beginning, I wanted to get into religion as the emphasis of the institution that has been adversely affected, probably the second largest if you clump them all together. But before I do, I still have this standing question, and I've got a set of books I'm willing to sign to whomever wants to come in and call and just have not a spirited discussion, but let me know how you feel about the Constitution protecting religious freedom. Does it really protect religious freedom in the aspect that you think? And so there is no sign, as I'm looking over my shoulder, looking at the news, looking at the tickers, looking out my window, I see no sign that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical responsibilities, roles, and or powers. Therefore, it is still our job to step up to make them do that. Let me go a little bit further onto another rant, and then I want to get into religion and so forth. But I'm not sure how many of you, probably lots of you, get tuned into Fox News and watch or listen to Fox News. And I happen to listen, and if you know the name of the senator that Neil Cavuto interviewed today, I would, you know, appreciate it if you called me, because I just missed that. I caught the last part of this interview where this senator was talking about the rule of law. He was defending the FBI and the DOJ, and he was talking trash about Trump and kind of spinning his perspective on Bill Clinton. He didn't say a word about, and Neil Cavuto didn't even point it out, you know, the problems and the carte blanche access, unconstitutional and lawlessness of the Obama administration with Fast and Furious and every other scandal that they had, that didn't even come up. However, this gentleman was talking about the rule of law and that, you know, Trump is besmirching the entire FBI and the DOJ and these good people and, you know, over this problem that he has with this, with this good quality investigation. So if you know who that was, by all means, just call me. I would like to do the due diligence and research, because I'd like to zing him, because obviously he doesn't understand the Constitution. So he doesn't understand the fact that the FBI and the DOJ, according to Jefferson and Madison, are unconstitutional. And so it's important. What I'm going to do is I'm going to zing him with Jefferson's words. And as a matter of fact, I know I've read these before, but I think it's really important that I kind of skim over Jefferson again real quick. And before I do that, though, I can't believe time's flown by so fast, but we're at a hard break. And so as soon as we come back, I'm going to dish up some Jefferson for you, and then maybe you can zing this senator. I think everybody needs to start using the Constitution as both a weapon and as a shield, and that's how we're going to win these battles. But anyway, I will be right back after a word from our sponsor. Thank you very much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
As we were going into break, I was just talking about Jefferson and what Jefferson said. And I know I've read these words before, but it's really important when you start hearing politicians talking about the rule of law,
They're talking about the rule of law that they want to apply. They're not talking about the rule of law of living by the actual laws, because it is they who continually usurp, create laws that are unconstitutional, and expound upon their powers as they basically rule over us. And so in the Kentucky Resolution of 1798, Jefferson, in his second resolves, and the state legislatures, this is an official document that came from the states. And so the states were drawing the line and calling upon other states. But this is what he says: resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting, the securities and current coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against the law of nations, which is also committed on the high seas, and no other crimes whatsoever, and it being true as a general principle, and one of the amendments of the Constitution having also declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people, close quote. Therefore, after the act of Congress passed on the 14th day of July, 1798, entitled the Act of Sedition, I'm just paraphrasing that part right there, an act to punish frauds committed on the Bank of the United States and all other acts which assume to create, define, or punish crimes other than those so enumerated in the Constitution, are altogether void and of no force, and that the power to create, define, and punish such crimes is reserved and of right appertains solely and exclusively to the respective states, each within its own territory. So you have to understand what he was saying here is that until you amend the Constitution, federal government, you have no power to just create any type of law that you want and make it illegal and come after and arresting people and trying them as they were doing. And technically, the big part of this act was actually against political speech, not necessarily crimes against the banks and so forth. He also says in resolve number 4 that the alien friends are under the jurisdiction and protection of the laws of the state where they are, that no power over them has been delegated to the states, nor prohibited to the individual states, distinct from the power over citizens. So what he's saying is, if you don't like the immigration policies, and you don't like what we have, because this is kind of important, because a lot of people have these, you know, they want to just surrender everything to the federal government. The states do have the ability to bring in and allow people to come in. However, it is the state or the federal government that is supposed to dictate the immigration policies and so forth. And so they can, identify what those standards are, as well as and especially as the citizenship. They're supposed to have the standardization of that. So when you see states allowing people to come in and bypassing the federal law, well, the states can allow people to come in, but they still have to adhere to what that law is. But more importantly, what California is doing and what Washington State and many other states, because I found out yesterday that Washington State has legalized and given the privilege of citizens voting to illegal aliens for several years now. And just like California, how many other states that you're not aware of that is doing this, and how many illegal aliens are coming in with the ability to vote? Far more than we should. But anyway, the point is that if we're talking about law and the rule of law, when it comes to crimes and all other legal aspects of who has jurisdiction over crimes, the federal government has jurisdiction over a very few and very specific crimes, not this carte blanche, we're going to come out and talk to you, and oh, by the way, it's illegal if you lie to the FBI. Show me that in the Constitution. Show me in the Constitution where we have this where the federal government has this power to create such an institution like the FBI. So I usually say this before I read, but let me say this since I just read this. These words of Jefferson, who I consider this document because it came from the states, drawing a line telling the federal government that they don't have these powers and actually creating the power of nullification. But more importantly, they laid the groundwork for republic review, for auditing the Constitution and calling upon the states to step in and force the federal government to do what it is contracted to do. And so are these words by Jefferson the words of deceit of what they were doing? Or have we been taught by our progressive education system, the progressive colleges, professors, the mainstream media, lawyers, politicians, bureaucrats, blah, 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 are they, what these modern day academics, are the words that they're giving us the words of deceit? And I will tell you, it is the latter, not the former, because the integrity has not been impugned upon those framers. As far as I'm concerned, they had such a level of, I don't want to say nobility, but they were definitely noble in their intent, but their integrity was just impeccable. A few of them had some problems, like Hamilton. He obviously had a very sordid affair, but I digress. We got to remember that all of these servants, that senator that talks about the rule of law, all of them take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And so how is it that unconstitutional laws and government, unconstitutional government entities fit within this senator's rule of law, where he is actually allocating budget for these and allowing them to have these charges of powers, be able to go out and do specific things to us and infringe upon our liberties, such as the EPA and all these other things? I have a hard time with the hypocrisy coming from these politicians because they do not understand the Constitution. And we're going to be boiling to a point here, folks, especially as you start learning and you start sharing this content and people start understanding, because this isn't a conspiracy thing. This is literally taking back our Constitution. The fact is that they've been hoodwinking us and lying and so forth. It's not, you know, one big long associated. It may be. I don't have any evidence of that. Maybe we're just being thrown to and fro by these whims of government. But I do know that when people assume the seats of power, they tend to exercise unrighteous dominion. And in saying that, what that means is that they are looking to gain more control and more control. The framers were aware of that. That's why the framers created a general government that was limited and defined as they told us. And that's why they made it hard for them to be able to assume any new roles, responsibilities, and powers. So as soon as the ratification books were closed and as soon as they started moving forward, they instantly started doing exactly what, some of them started doing exactly what Madison and the others had said, hey, this is what we know government does. This is what we know people tend to do. And that goes down this path of partisanship and biases of ideologies and of people. I just realized that I'm out of time again. We're going into another hard break. And so when we come back, I want to just ping on these biases that are kind of innate within people and how we've gotten into this hard spot, or in between the rock and the hard spot, actually. And so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcasts. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Speaking of free content, I think I mentioned yesterday that the bullets are actually on the homepage of reclaimingtherepublic.org, so you can actually go and pull in or look, cut and paste or what have you. Just remember that is copyrighted material, but I want you to share it. It just can't be reused for commercial purposes. And at the very bottom of the bullets for the model or explaining the process of Republic Review, you can actually click on that link and it'll take you to the picture of the model or the pictures, because it's an overall picture. And then I have a zoom in of each step of the processes. But I give that to you. There is your free content. Like I said, most of it's free because it is about the message and you understanding what we have to do, because we don't have a lot of time. Anybody that thinks, oh, well, we got time, reminds me of the old, I forget what scripture it is, but
eat, drink, and be happy for, you know, tomorrow we'll rest or what have you. I'm really out there on this scripture, but I do know that we cannot allow ourselves to think lackadaisically that we can just party up and have a good old time because, you know, the reaper or the consequences of our decision will never come. The consequences of many people's decisions and throwing us under the bus is about to come. The day of reckoning for our republic is about to come. And here's a good question I have for you, because this is kind of going down that path of partisanship. Let me ask you, why do you believe so many Republicans are abandoning office? The widespread willingness of desertion of post by these Republican congressmen is not an outlier event. Things don't happen like that to that level by coincidence. So what do you think? What do you think is behind this? Do you believe that this might be the progressive globalist deep state who has been collecting all sorts of good sorted information on every single one of these Congress people and is about ready to basically tell them that if they don't desert their post, then they're going to expose them, which is extortion. But they know that if they get exposed, then they have a good likelihood of, you know, being shamed, losing their seat, and going down. Possibly, you know, if they get exposed for committing crimes, they may actually lose their ability to collect that nice golden parachute pension and benefits that they get. Or, so is this the progressive globalist deep state? Or is this a Trump effect? Do you believe that these people are leaving because Trump is, you know, leading the charge against them and will have them replaced? Or do you think this is more of an insidious deep state thing? Because I will tell you that if you really start thinking about how far we're divided, and if you understand how polarized we are, I'll even say that we're not just only polarized as a nation, but we're polarized as people. And I believe that there are innate biases within people. And one of the things that came out in my interview yesterday that will be airing on my local radio show, I was interviewing I don't want to say professional, but here's a passionate patriot that wants to make sure that our elections are clean and pure. So this is a person that has been a part of the election observing, or the, you know, the ballot counting in the county control center, wherever that is. I have no idea. But she would go in and she talked about all these different things. And it proved to me that it seems like we have a real problem when people are hiring employees for government. They take for granted that these people may have some ideological bias. No, they do have ideological bias. And as a matter of fact, I think it's important that when you're hiring for, because if you look at the deep state, dark state, whatever you want to call it, if you look at the people that have been hired in there, it's obvious that they all have a political slant. They all have a bias towards globalist progressivism. They want to see the centralized government grow and obtain more power. I mean, all of these people have no respect for the rule of law, the real rule of law of the Constitution. And so I am telling you that what has to happen, and I believe states need to start this, and the federal government needs to start this as well, that they have to ensure that they have equal representation. So you know how the EPA, not the EPA, Equal Employment Offices, you know, make sure that they come into employers and ensure that the people that are employed within a company are a direct representation of the local inhabitants. I think government, because it is such a partisan pool, that government has to have an equal representation of the partisan politics. In other words, when they hire so many, they should only hire so many Democrats, they should hire so many Republicans, and so forth. And I say this because what that does, it creates and invites whistleblowing, because if one person or one side's doing, but when you have a monopoly of you know, a bunch of secular progressives who will lie, deceive, and do anything, the communists have no moral compass. They basically are running amok, and they will do anything necessary to further their cause, and so they will never whistleblow. The only time they whistleblow is when they can expose a conservative for, you know, whatever they possibly can to destroy him so that he can be replaced with hopefully a progressive. So bottom line, by having a duality and or even, you know, all these based on the representation of libertarians and Constitutional Party and all these other parties, I would think that you'd probably find, and there's no such thing as an independent. I mean, anybody that says they're an independent, because there's no real independent. If you look at the turnout of, you know, how many people claim to be independent and how many people actually vote independent are two different things, which means that those people are only independent because they're really pissed off at their party, typically Republicans, and that they will still vote Republican, but they, you know, they don't like that. Not too many Democrats, but there may be some Democrats that fall into that pool. But anyway, I just wanted to, you know, go off on this and kind of give you some insight that the reason why we have this deep state, the reason why we have these types of problems, and the reason why all of these Republicans are leaving office has everything to do with politics and has nothing to do with, you know, real family issues and so forth. I think that some people are using that as a facade. I believe a congressman's leaving even sooner, abandoning his post even sooner to make it seem like, you know, he really does need to be with his family to get the spotlight off of, you know, well, why is it that you're really doing this? So anyway, as I said today, my emphasis is on religion. And what I want to talk about is this organization called the Circle of Protection. I will tell you that in 1833, there was a large body of clergy that went into the White House and begged President Jackson to create jobs because the clergymen could not afford to continue to support their people. So this was the beginning of the commercializing of religion. The whole thing that the beginning of this republic that started, that used to, you know, hate the Catholics because they had this huge business approach to religion and they wanted to get to this purist approach. They turned the corner in the Second Awakening. And I write about this in my book, and I have this, I believe it's an academic argument that proves that when evangelicalism rose, that you will then find the beginning of the commercialization of Christianity here in America. And that was in the early 1800s, the 1830s, and so forth. Because what happens is when you have an evangelical troop that shows up at your town and they, you know, perform blessings and heal people and they take your money, what happens is they leave town. So when all of a sudden Billy over here is out of a job, there's no clergy, because he took your money and is gone, to help this person out. And so now he has to go to some other form of assistance, or I should say temporal assistance. And what ends up happening is they go, well, we don't have enough money for you because that other troop or what have you has taken our money. And that's why all these clergy have been going to the politicians for the past over a century. And as a matter of fact, there was lots of clergy that were in and out, even Islamists that were in and out of Obama's office. So I'm going to get into the Circle of Protection that you need to look into, because there's a good chance your religious upper level is deeply involved in these folks. So I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Dare I insult you? Because that is not my intent. If I do, then forgive me. But what I am about to tell you is something that will probably get your ire up. If you go to the website called circleofprotection.us, you will find what I consider one of the more insidious organizations that is centering itself and is actually working with such a large body of Christian churches that you won't believe this. So you actually have to go. And if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you go to my Red State Talk Radio podcast page, down underneath all my podcasts, I have PDF files of all these types of things and the circle of protection, the signatories, those who have signed on to supporting government maintaining welfare, in other words, taking money from those who have and giving it to those who have not, and having government do that instead of the churches, is an abdication of their responsibilities. In other words, they are surrendering to the government to doing God's charity, or taking care of those who are in need of care. And why are they doing this? The question is, why? And I believe the only answer that one can come up with is money. Because bottom line, they're more interested in being able to keep the money that they have than trying to take care of those who don't. Now, I'm not poking your local ministers in the eye, but if your local minister sends money up to these organizations, then they're actually feeding this increase of government entitlement. And so if you actually go, and if, like I said, if you go on to the reclaimingtherepublic.org, you can actually look at the different organizations and churches that you will find here. And we're talking about one and a half, probably two full pages, dual column of people and or church leaders. These are actually presidents of Senior Bishop, African Methodist, Episcopal Zion Church, so forth and so on. So these are key leaders in the Catholic ministry and all different Christian faiths that are petitioning government to ramp up their entitlements so that they can, you know, make sure that people are taken care of. Now, I want you to understand this. As I've been telling you, the entitlement program has been breached and has been compromised for Cloward Piven for a long time. And what I mean by that is that the progressives know that now there are no standards for anybody to receive these entitlements and this payout for food stamps and so forth. The progressives that choose, do their dues or pay their time in the ranks so that they can move up, they literally go from school onto government welfare. While they're making this welfare, they're doing Antifa protests and so forth. And so you, the taxpayers, are paying for this revolution. And guess what? These religious leadership and the institution of religion has basically given up its responsibilities. And so the question is why? And actually they go through here and they say the leaders who have signed this statement are from African American, Hispanic, Asian American, Native American, Evangelical, Catholic, Pentecostal, and mainline Protestant churches, and many national faith-based organizations. We are committed to help build a fresh, newly energetic, multiracial Christian movement to make the integral connection between racism and poverty and seek the spiritual power to end both. But that really sounds good, but the whole thing is that if you read these letters to Trump, and if you read the letters that they sent to Hillary, and what they've been doing this for a long time, because guess what? I exposed these folks in my first book, and if you look at the link that I had this organization to, they actually changed their domain from .org to .us. And so I'm not keen on what they're doing. I'm not keen on communism. I'm not keen on the government having any role, responsibility, or power, because it's not within the Constitution. And dare I remind you that Madison said several times that the federal government has no business in welfare and administering these types of things to the people, that the states and actually the churches and local communities really carry the burden of doing this. And so if you go through the charter, I just invite you to go through the charter on the Circle of Protection, or not the, it's circleofprotection.us. And if you have a hard time finding it, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. pull in the PDF so you can look at the signatures, but you'll also find the URL there. Go to the domain and look through who we are, Faces and Facts, the Media Room, and candidate statements. They actually put pressure upon candidates to get them to commit to and making statements. Now, that's a good thing if you're getting them to commit to supporting and defending the Constitution like they have to take an oath to do. But I am here to tell you that these institutions have no intention of getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. They love the fact that they've reached beyond that, because now they're able to put the burden upon government to take from you who are making and give to those who are not. And so what I will say is, if you look at institutions that have been affected by this tyranny, it really did start at the behest of religion. That religion was the one that started saying, going down this path of, we need to commercialize, we need to start making money, because I don't like the fact that I have to have a regular job and then I've got all this ministry that I have to do. Well, it was a layman's church way back before they commercialized it, when America was just founded and growing. John Adams, if I remember correctly, his father was a cobbler, as well as his father was a minister. If you understand that that was apropos for the time, why did they get away from that? Well, the nature of man is lazy. Remember that almost right out the gate from Adam and Eve, how long did it take for man to all of a sudden deviate from the commandment? And I hate to get religious on you, but didn't God command man or Adam that man must live by the sweat of his brow? Well, if you institute slavery, which happened very quickly, I mean, one of Adam's sons and that family started enslaving their other brothers and sisters, or that the other lineage of Adam's. And so slavery itself is making somebody else work or sweat for your sustainment. And it is in conflict with the every man must live by the sweat of his brow, if you understand what I'm saying. And so slavery actually helps man sidestep those responsibilities. What I will tell you is, if you start looking at the history of Christianity within America, as we went from the early 1800s into the 1900s and so forth, there was this huge religious movement. But I'm going to tell you that the big religious movement that was happening on the side that actually started creating undercurrents within America was secularism and godlessness. And so as they started poking Christians in the eye for being judging for people that didn't believe in God, well, you shouldn't be judging those people, and getting them to relinquish the court system, because the court system, as I've said before, required that if you were going to bear testimony in our court system, you had to be Christian of good standing in your community. Do you understand that? That means that courts were throwing out cases of godless people, whether they be atheists, whether they be Satan worshipers or what have you, because there was just no way the court would entertain anybody that believed in that lying's okay, or that they had no moral obligation, that they would be held accountable to a higher authority if they actually lied. That's why Joseph Story said that the infidels, the non-Christians in America, had no credit. But you got to understand, the framers didn't really understand or know that this was going to become a huge movement. This kind of goes to that question: is religious freedom really protected by the Constitution? Do you believe that the framers put into play to allow Satanism and all forms of religion to come into existence when they created the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights? And so I want you to think about that, because I'm still going to keep that question out there, because I think this is a very important question. And I want you to keep it in context, because we talk about the 14th Amendment a lot, how the 14th Amendment applies to individual privileges and immunities, not organization or institutional privileges and immunities. So in that context, by all means, ruminate on this, and I hope that maybe in the next couple of days, or maybe I'll just ask somebody to come on and we'll put that question to bed and probably come up with another question. However, there are lots of other institutions out there that have been victimized by the federal government and stepping in, and the federal government has just made it really hard for churches anymore, as they've assumed secularism and their authority over churches, and actually as they've started pushing secular religion within the school system, they have made it impossible or very hard for us to maintain Christianity, and they're winning. And so we are reclaiming the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley. I'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about how taking the winning from them and put it back to us. See you tomorrow.